This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
I came here to give you a spiritual kick up the pants because it's spring training night. I didn't come to massage you or entertain you. I came to stir you up, to challenge you, and to prayerfully, after tonight, make you leave this room thinking some bigger thoughts and thinking some different things about your life. So God, we come to your word. We do not take this part of the service for granted. People gave their life for this very book. People went and were martyred for this very book, and their stories are there to not entertain us, to not make us sit back in awe, but to inspire us because they were ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And God, tonight I pray that this word, I would get out of the way so it can be the seed that you need it to be, and that you would use this time right now to help people change their life where they need to, move their thinking where they need to. God, let us be changed tonight at this spring training event. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take you to a scripture. It's in Proverbs 24. And it may be a well-known story to some of you, and I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs 24, verse 30, before I jump off to what I want to talk to you about tonight, says this. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. And I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. This seemed a very appropriate word for me to bring to you tonight, as it is all about getting up, moving, and doing activity when you leave this room. Because here's a guy whose life is a product of not doing what he should have done and not being proactive where he should have done. This is a picture of a man that has been given a space, a field, a vineyard that has so much potential in it. He's been given an area of land that could make money for him. It could become a business for him. He's been given soil that is fertile to plant seed in, to grow crops in. He's been given this area to take care of. And yet we find that when we read this, instead of reading about a harvest, or instead of reading about grapes that are growing in the vineyard, or instead of reading about productivity, we read that in the area he was given, there are thorns, there are thistles, there are weeds, and there are broken down walls. And there are not thorns, thistles, and weeds and broken down walls because, you know, there was a huge onslaught of an army or there was a massive attack on his life. We find that the reason why it is in the ruined state that it is in is because he did something called got a little bit laid back. He did something called folding his arms. He did something like take a little sleep, have a little slumber. And ladies, I want to speak to you tonight about your life looking like that picture. I want to ask you tonight, are you owning your zone? Are you owning your zone? Because the fact is, just like that man had been given an area to take care of, God has given every single one of you in here the equivalent of that field. He has given you a zone that you are called spiritually to own. He's given you a family, some of you. He's given you a marriage. He's given you children, maybe. He's given you a job. Maybe it's a university degree. He's given you gifts and talents. Maybe they're musical or they're creative, or he's given you a gift of encouragement. He's put seed inside your life, and he's given you an area, and he stands back when he's given it to you like all good parents, and he says, there you go. That's what I've done for you. Now go for it. Now do something with the seed. Now do something with what I have given you. Do something with what I have put inside of you. Grow me a harvest. Grow me a vineyard. Do something. And we have to look at all of our lives and we have to question inside of our lives and inside of our heart, am I owning the things that God has given me, or have I let apathy creep over the wall of my life, or my marriage, or my relationships, or my attitude, or my loose tongue? Have I let things get in my zone that are ruining the potential and the productivity of what it is that God says I could have in my zone? You have to own your zone. No one's going to do it for you. I can't do it for you. I don't live where you live, and therefore your street is not my responsibility. But guess what? It is yours. If you are a child of God, if you are called by God, then the place where he puts you is your place where you're supposed to bring his light, his salt. That's the place where you're supposed to bring his kindness and his goodness. That's the place where you're supposed to bring change and difference. Why? Because that is the zone that he placed you in. Your children are not my children. Maybe you wish they were, but they're not. They're not my kids. They're your kids. And therefore, they're in your zone for you to bring out of them everything God put in them, for you to speak words of life over them, for you to believe God for them, for you to pray for them. They're in your zone. Your marriage is not my marriage. It's yours to own. And the fact is that we can do life in a way that has all the things in our zone, but we don't, as women, we don't understand that we must own it. We can't just do life without owning the life that God has given us. And the scary fact is that we all, individually in here right now, you all have seed inside your life, all of you. God put it there from the very beginning. You have seed. You have seed of potential and seed of gift, seed of things that God placed in you from when you were knit together in your mother's womb, and they are inside of you. And those seeds are in you. And here's the scary thing. If you don't sow those seeds, they go to the grave with you. You are responsible for the seeds that are inside your life. I cannot sow them for you. Sometimes I wish at home with our congregation when I see brilliant people sat back with their arms folded, not doing anything with their brilliance. I wish I could come up and shake it out of them. And I think the Holy Spirit tonight wants to shake some of you because you came to shake it all at Zumba. But before you shake it all at Zumba spiritually, some of you need a good shake. You need the shaking of the gifts that are inside you, the shaking of the strength that you don't think is there. But the reason you don't think it's there is because you've started to recline and relax instead of sitting upright to the things that God has called you to be alert about. And this man had just a little sleep and he had just a little slumber. Jesus was not laid back about anything in his zone. If you got in Jesus' zone, your life would change. If you got around Jesus, you would be convicted. You would be healed if you were sick. If you got around Jesus and you were in his zone, all of a sudden everything changed. When Jesus entered a room, the whole room changed. When Jesus walked down the street would change. When Jesus went somewhere, he went and he took his presence and he took his gift and he took the power that was in him and he changed the entire atmosphere. And we are Jesus's hands and feet where we do life now. And the question is, does the room change when you walk in? Does it change for the better? Does the gossip stop when you enter the zone? Does the backbiting stop when you walk in? Does the dysfunction have to be silent when you walk in? Because you've understood, if I'm showing up, I own this zone. Jesus went into places where other people had been many times. Other believers, even his disciples. One time he went into the house of God where people should have been worshiping, people that love God, people that wanted to be there as an act of worship. It would be like the equivalent of walking into church. And Jesus on this day, he walked into the house of God, to the temple of God. And he found when he got there in his zone, in his father's house, in the zone, there was all manner of things going on that should not have gone on. And what I love is that Jesus didn't just say, well, you know what, it's not my responsibility. Well, you know what, you know, that's the steward's job in the church to sort that out. What he said is, I don't know what's going on around here, but this is my father's house. And why are the moneylenders in here? And why are the guys selling animals in here for sacrifices? What is going on? And you know, Bible, if you read your Bible and you study the word of God, it tells you that the reason why the moneylenders were there and the reason why the guys were there selling the animals was because that the people that were coming to worship were entering the temple unprepared. They were entering the zone without any ownership of what was required from them when they got there. So they were coming without the right currency for temple tax. And they were coming without an animal, and you were supposed to bring a sacrifice to worship. And they couldn't be bothered being prepared to enter the zone and own the zone. And so other people came and they set up tables and they were making money off people's lack of being bothered, of people's apathy. And you know, the enemy would love to make interest off your apathy. He'd love to make interest off your apathy about your marriage or about your worship or about your sacrifice. And Jesus enters and he goes, I don't think so. I'm in this zone. This is a zone that I own. And he didn't go, oh, if you wouldn't mind just packing up your tables, I'll give you 15 minutes because I know you got a lot of stuff. And then if you wouldn't mind just leaving out the left-hand side doors, I'd really appreciate it. No, Jesus was mad. Jesus realized, no, you need to know this is not behavior that goes on in here. And he began to turn tables and kick people out, sending the signal, hello, I don't know what you think goes on around here, but when I show up, I own this zone. And there's got to be some of that that becomes in our spirit, because we have to understand that we have been given authority in Christ. God has given you and I authority, not so that we put it on a shelf in a bottle, but so that we use it to deal with the scenarios that have come to kill, steal, and destroy in your zone. But God says, why don't you own your zone and tell those things? I don't think so. I don't think so. The apathy that creeps into our spirit, the apathy that says, oh, well, it's just her. She always gossips. It's just the way it is. You know what? I would say if it's at my kitchen table, you can do that at your kitchen table. But honey, this is my zone. And that does not go on at my kitchen table. I was in my house the other day and my 10-year-old daughter was upstairs. And her friend had come over to play that lives just a door down from us. Sweet girl. She practically lives with us. She's an only child. And so we don't live on a large street, just a few houses. And so she pretty much is like our extra daughter. I make dinner for her every night. I just figure she's going to come over at some point. And they were upstairs on the top floor of the house, and I was down on the lower ground floor, and I could hear them having a conversation in the hallway. And this little girl began to diss her mother. It wasn't anything serious, but she was saying, you know, my mum doesn't let me do this, and my mum doesn't let my mum's a right bossy britches. And, you know, she was, you know, she was having this conversation. And I heard my 10-year-old daughter say, Sophie, you can't talk about your mum like that in our house. And I heard Sophie say, why? She says, because you don't disrespect your parents in our house. And I was downstairs going, own that zone, baby girl. Own it. I mean, she was like, I don't know what you do in your house, but in our house, that's not behavior that's acceptable. And you know why she knows that? Because she's seen her mum own her zone. And at 10 years old, she's realized with her 10-year-old friend, I can own my bedroom zone too. And the conversations that happen in this room, I can govern too, because my mum showed me and my dad showed me that I can actually take authority and I can own my zone. And we must model as women. And you know what? You can be strong when everything's going well. And you can be strong when, you know, everything looks great, but it's having the strength when things are against you to say, this is my zone, back off. I was at home not so long ago and my son all of a sudden got ill, and I began to realize every time we plan a few days trip away as a family to recoup and kind of have some time together, every single time one of us would fall ill, like out of the blue. We were fine, then somebody would just get ill. And so I realized as I was in the kitchen and we had friends over, we were going to London the next morning. And my son had been fine all day. And then he wanders into the kitchen and just said, Mum, I feel really sick. He's 7. He said, I feel really sick. So I said, Noah, I said, you okay? And I touched his head and he had a terrible temperature. And I said, well, like all good mothers, just go to bed, you'll be fine in the morning. I'm a terrible nurse. So I was like, you'll be fine, it's no big deal. You know, just go to bed, it's bedtime anyway, you'll be fine in the morning. And I knew he looked really ill, but I was like, it'll be fine. So I shoved him in his bed and left him up there. And, you know, a bit later on in the evening, I thought, I'll just check on him. And I went in, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and he was fast asleep, and he was really sweating, a hot sweat. And I was like, oh, it doesn't feel like this fever's breaking, whatever it is. So I thought, well, I'll pray for him. So, you know, I sat on the end of the bed and he's fast asleep. And so I say, you know, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you just heal Noah and you just touch his little body right now and amen. And so I got up and I walked out of the bedroom and I was going down the hall to our bedroom. And as I'm going down the hall to our bedroom, I felt God say to me, is that it? I was like, yeah. That's it. That's your prayer over your son. That's it. He's ill and that's your prayer. I was like, I suppose I could do a little bit better. So I turned around and I walked back into his bedroom. And between the hallway and his bedroom, something inside me woke up. And I realized, hang on a minute, this is my zone. I'm the mama in this house. These are my babies. We serve God. We love God. You know what? By his stripes, we're healed in our family. You know what? I'm not having this. And I began to walk with a little bit more of a sassy strut back to his bedroom in my pajamas. And I got into his room, and he's fast asleep, and I started pacing around his room. I'm just on my own. It's like dark, and I'm just pacing, and I'm like, Mama Bear that was hibernating just woke up, and she was mad, and she was hungry. And I'm just like walking around his room, and I'm like, okay. So I start saying, in the name of Jesus, I am telling you, Satan, you have no place in our house. And we are believers, and we believe in the word of God. And I'm saying it like this because he's sleeping, so I don't want to wake him up. And I'm telling you, you get your hands off my child. And I'm telling you that we believe that God is going to heal this. And Father, I pray your power over him by his stripes is healed. And I declare that this is going to be gone and broken in Jesus' name. And from the dead of his sleep, my little boy shouted, amen. Freaked me out. I was like, whoa. I mean, I know this stuff works, but like, whoa, it really works. So I was like all good, you know, good mothers, I thought, well, he's still asleep. I'll just try it again. Maybe I didn't hear right. So I went, in Jesus' name. God said to me, his body's asleep, but his spirit's awake. I left that room. I was shaking with the power of God. I bumped into my husband in the hall. He was like, woo, where have you been? I'm like, I don't know where I've been, but I shouldn't have been where I've been. And I've woken up on the inside, and that thing is dealt with. Just so you know, darling, I dealt with it. Mama dealt with it. He's like, okay. Next morning, Noah was right as rain, didn't have any recall that he'd said amen, and I was reminded again that you choose. You choose what goes on in your home. You choose what goes on in your marriage. You choose what goes on in your... You know what, ladies? You choose what goes on your row in this service. Don't all look at me like, what do you mean? If you want to be the noisiest person on your row, own it. You can sit on your row and go, amen. See? And all the sisters next to you are like, who do you think you are? I just say, I own this row. Thank you for sitting on my row tonight. Don't like it? Choose another row. I sit here every Sunday. This is my behavior. Get used to it. Did you not know that I own this row? I'm telling you, we've got to understand that where we go, we take the power and the presence of God with us. And whether that's the school playground, or the kids' bedroom, or the row where you sit on Sunday morning, or the checkout that you're in Target, or the gas station where you fill your car, or the school playground where you talk to the mums, when you show up, things should change. When you show up, there should be a difference. You've got to own it. You've got to understand there's nothing greater coming. There's no great anointing that's going to come and land on you. It's all there for you to take, but you just have to decide. There's no more power flowing through me than the power that will flow through you. There's no more power on Reinhard Bonnke as there is on you. It's just that you've got to access it. And some of you don't believe it because you've lived a lie that tells you don't have any gift, you don't have any talent, you can't do anything. But you've got to start in the zone where you are and say, I'm going to own my bad attitude. Hello? Instead of denying it, because we all know it's there. Instead of pretending it's not you and it's everybody else's fault. You know what? You can't fix all the other people's part, but you can fix yours. So if in your marriage you're thinking, well, it's his fault, you can't be responsible for that, but you can own your fault. You can own your behavior and your confession and your attitude and your prayer life and the way that you act and the way that you are. You can own that part. And God will only hold you accountable for your zone, not for your sisters, or not for your best friends, or not for somebody else's. And the more that you deal with the things in your zone, and the more you own it, the Bible says, entrusted with little, and if you're faithful with little, he'll extend your zone, and you'll get more. And many of us won't wait. We're waiting for the more until we'll own our zone. We're waiting for the bigger before we'll do anything in the smaller. And God goes, you're getting it all wrong. You've got to start in the smaller, and then I'll increase your territory. But if you won't own the dysfunction in your 15-year-old child, why would I send you on missions to plant something out there when your dysfunction at home you won't deal with? You've got to own that zone. You've got to own that zone. Don't be going telling everybody else how to live their life until you figure it out here. God wants us to own our zone. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, I'm going to take you to it, to show you a woman that owned her zone. This woman was pretty awesome. She's found in 2 Samuel 20, and it's just a tucked away story, but it's one that after tonight you can underline and refer to whenever you think that you don't have the capability to deal with stuff. Because this woman, let me give you a context of what was happening. What was happening was that there was a bad guy, and this bad guy was called Sheba. And Sheba had set out to rebel against the king, against David. And so he was causing trouble everywhere he went. And so this bad guy is on the run, and David says to all his dudes, you need to go take this guy down. So, the big dudes, they would come to Guts Church if they were on the planet now. You know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Sylvester Stallone and the Jet Li of their day that were in David's army, those dudes, the big ones, the muscly ones, the able ones, the fighters. These guys were led by Joab, and they were off after the Sheba, and so they'd just been chasing this guy. And he'd been running all the way through towns, and every town he went to, they went in there, and they would fight people to get to him that might be helping him, and they still hadn't caught him. So we join the story as he's run to yet another town, and they're chasing him down. So it's in 2 Samuel 20, verse 14. Sheba, the guy, now has passed through, and he comes to Abel Beth Maacah. And all the troops followed him. Verse 15. The troops with Joab came and they besieged Sheba inside Abel Beth Maacah. That's the town he'd gone to hide in. They built a siege ramp up to the city and it stood against the outer fortifications. So they're now building all these ramps and ladders up the city walls to come over the walls to go get the bad dude. Okay, got it? All these big guys all suited up the ladders, coming over the walls, and they're about to come down and go after this guy until a chick that owns her zone. Check this out. So they're on the top of the ladders and they're about to bring it down. Verse 16. A wise woman. Everyone say, wise woman.
Wise woman.
Then say, that would be me. Well, that's what we're hoping anyway after tonight. A wise woman. A wise woman called from the city. I love this. Just imagine, you got to put yourself in this scenario. All these big, huge, heavy dudes on the top of the ladder about to come down to kill this guy. And this chick just appears from nowhere and she shouts this. Listen. Hold your horses. Just steady on now. Listen. Listen. Go tell your boss, Joab, to come here. I need to speak to him. They must have been like, excuse me? Hello? Do you not know that we are like the top military people and that we are very busy right now trying to catch a bad guy? I don't think that Joab the boss wants to chat. But this woman was owning her zone. This woman wasn't letting anyone come over the wall unless she knew why they were coming over her walls to her town. This woman had some attitude. This woman, I dare to say it, had guts. Tell Joab to come here so I can speak to him. He went toward her and she asked, are you Joab? She's just making sure she's got the boss. Are you Joab? I am, he answered. She said, listen to what your servant has to say. I'm listening, he said. She continued, long ago, he must have thought, oh Lord. Long ago. He's like, lady, I need the short version. I ain't got time for long ago. We're about a business. Long ago. They used to say, get your answer at Abel. And that settled it. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel. And you are trying to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance? Far be it from me, Joab replied. Far be it from me to swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. But there is a man named Sheba from the hill country of Ephraim that has lifted up his hand against the king, against David. If you can hand over this one man, I will withdraw from the city. Check this next line out. The woman said to Joab, his head will be thrown to you over the wall. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, not I'll go and, you know, I'll think about it, or, oh yeah, that's really scary. Like I own this zone around here. I don't know what all the other towns are that you've been to, but before you come over the wall into my town, let me tell you, my kids live here, and my grandkids live here, and we're good people, and we're peace-loving people, and you know what? We love God, and you know what? I know you might be about a cause, but you need to understand, you've just showed up in my zone. And if you're in my zone, I want to know what your business is. And once you've told me your business, I'll see what I can do about it. So he's explaining himself. All the other guys are probably like laughing that this big Joab is having to explain himself to this woman. And she's like, stay there. The head will be thrown to you over the wall. It's like, awesome. This is such a message for this church. Verse 22, the woman went to all the people with her wise advice. So they cut off the head of Sheba, threw it over the wall to Joab. He sounded the trumpet and they all went home for tea. That's it. No war, no fighting, no walls being broken down, nobody being hurt that shouldn't have been hurt, no harassment that shouldn't have gone on. This woman just said, I need you to know we operate differently around here. And the fact is that spiritually, some of you have got people climbing the walls of your life, coming over the walls of your life that have no business in your life. But because you don't say, whoa, stop, listen, they come over, and before you can stop them or before you try and say anything, because you've got a little sleep and a little slumber and some apathy going on, not only are they over the wall, but they're in your business and they're in your life and they're in your marriage and they're in your world and they're in your thinking and they're in your speaking and they're living in the space that God gave you and said, do something with that zone. And this woman said, you can't come in here, because once you're in here, it's going to be really hard to get you out of here. But I can help bring resolution to the problem, but it's going to be on these terms. And you need to know, by the Spirit of God, you don't have to let everybody over the wall of your life. You don't have to let every conversation land in your heart. You don't have to let every negative thing that's going on be in your zone. You don't have to entertain that conversation that you know does not do you good. Sometimes you have to say to that girlfriend, before you get out your car and come up my drive and into my home, why are you coming? Who have you fallen out with? And what's this about? Well, sister so-and-so said to sister so-and-so that sister so-and-so doesn't like me. Awesome. Don't bring it in my zone. A, I don't want to be involved. B, I don't know if sister so-and-so did say to sister so-and-so what you said to sister so-and-so. So that's the other thing. I'll pray. I'll pray for you. But you know what? You need to go own that zone. And the Bible says that if you're offended, you need to go to speak to your brother that offended you. And I ain't the brother that offended you. So you're going to have to go and own your zone. You're going to have to go deal with it. You're going to have to actually get your hands on the situation and sort it out. And you know what? We can be all spiritual. Oh, yes, Lord, I need to spiritually own my zone. No. It's really, really real. You're either going to love my teaching or you're not. But don't worry, I'm leaving tomorrow. But, you know, because I'm not hard to understand. No, you know what I'm saying. You might not like it, but you know what I'm saying. And so I don't want to leave you out here of, oh, spiritually, I'm fighting this invisible war that, you know, I own my zone. No, you've got to get really practical when it looks like somebody climbing the walls of your life about to come in. You've got to get really practical when it's attack on something that God said that's in your world to deal with. You've got to get really practical when it's a conversation you know you shouldn't be in, or it's a relationship with a guy that you know you shouldn't be in, and you open the door for him to come in, and now he's in, he's made himself comfortable, and he's put his feet up spiritually, and he's put his feet up physically in your world, and now you're like, oh, well. He's just, you know, it's just kind of how it is. It's no big deal. And the enemy's going, yes. Just a little sleep. Just a little slumber. Just a little folding of the arms to rest. I love it when the church get apathetic. I love it when those people just take a reclining seat, because as they're reclining, I can get thorns and thistles on the go. And next time when they sit up and they look at what's going on in the world and they say, how did this happen? And they want to blame that person and blame this person and blame the church and blame God. You know what? We have to be responsible. For I think actually those things are in my world because I didn't pull them out of my world. I would like to blame the climate. I would like to blame the neighbors. I would like to blame where I live for the fact that my garden is not pretty. But my garden is not pretty because I don't like gardening. And I can't be bothered to go and pull weeds up in my garden. But when the sun shines, which is not as frequently as I would like it in England, but when it does shine, all of a sudden I want to sit in my garden and I want to look at beautiful flowers and I get frustrated that I'm looking at weeds. But I only have myself to blame, because when I could have been pulling weeds and planting seeds, I was sat back thinking, I don't like gardening. And we want a blooming, we want a prospering life, we want a flourishing life, but we're not willing to go to the place in ourselves that says, if I want that, I'm going to have to do this. And I came tonight on a spring training night when the emphasis is working out and getting your little butt moving and getting your body active. I'm telling you, not only physically do you need to go into spring training, but spiritually, God is asking some of you to go back to boot camp. God's asking some of you spiritually to go back to your zone and to say, okay, God, show me, help me, let me deal with it. So I'm telling you, some of you have got stuff in your zone that's been there 23 years. A hurt, an offense, a betrayal, an abuse. Something that went on years ago, but because you haven't dealt with it and pulled it out and emotionally detached from it and said, you cannot live here anymore. It is strangling you. It is choking your future. It's like gripping around your throat, and everything you do has affected and is affected by the thorns that you have not pulled up. And tonight God's saying, you were at spring training. Yes, you are. But spring training, you might have thought was about one thing, but it's about another. Tonight, the spring training for you is that you got to go back and you got to say, even though it's going to be hard, I'm pulling it out. Even though I'm going to have to change my friendships, I'm going to change my friendships. Even though I'm going to have to deal with this situation, I'm going to deal with this situation. You know what? It can be as practical as your weight. I don't like the way I look. Well, I can't do anything about that. But you can. I'm self-conscious. I don't like it. Hey, I used to be a size 18. I know where you're going from. I know what you're talking about. I used to deal with my own issues of not liking the way I look. And it's not about a perfect weight. It's not about some kind of figure that you've got to get to. It's about being happy in your skin. It's about being happy with who you are. But quit complaining and using that as an excuse to hide behind. If you don't like it, God says change it. But changing it is not going to, there's no prayer line. Come forward and we will fight the fat demons for you. No, you own your zone by saying no to the cream cake someone's going to give you on the way out. And you own your zone by saying no to the third round of donuts. You own your zone. I don't want to be spooky tonight. I want to be real. Because this is what it takes to be a guts woman. This is what it takes to change our neighborhood and our communities and our family and our children and our marriages. It takes real women making some real choices and sitting up where they've been laid back and saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet. Time's gone. I don't know where that time went, but it went. And you know what, tonight, seriously, for some of you, this is a really big deal. And we've laughed and we've joked and this word has gone into your spirit, but tonight this word is going to call for change. It's going to call for praying differently, believing differently, speaking differently, just doing some stuff, making some changes. So all across the room, we're just going to hold for 1 second more. Just close your eyes, not to embarrass anyone or make anyone feel awkward. But you know tonight that you need to own your zone. There's an area, whether it be for you physically, whether it be spiritually, whether it be relationally, you know, whether it's in your thinking, but God has got his hand on you tonight to say, in this area, I need you to own it. In this area, I need you to change the way you are. And if tonight you're saying, that's me, there's an area, just as all the eyes are closed, just stick your hands in the air. And I'm going to pray over us as we say, yeah, that's an area for me tonight. I need to own it. Can be all kinds of things that are going on, but God sees you as an individual. Come on, all across this room, just stick your hands up high. Thank you, God. Just as the band are playing, I'm just going to begin to pray, and then we're just going to sing one chorus of this song. And we're going to declare it as we sing it over our zone. So raise your hands if that's you, because I'm going to pray. Father, you see every woman in here right now in this moment. God, this is not just a hand reaction in a room. God, this is spring training. This is a decision that from today, things are going to change. This is a decision that that person that has been laid back is going to sit up on the inside. This is a decision that our zone, we are going to own it. And God, I pray tonight that courage would arise in every heart. I pray tonight that those that have been fearful would become faith-filled. I pray tonight that those that have been apathetic would take authority. I pray tonight that we would speak to our circumstances in the name of Jesus. I pray tonight that marriages would find hope again, because someone says, I own the dysfunction and I'm going to pull up the thorns and the weeds. I pray tonight where we have become weary, we've become worshippers of you again. I pray where compromise has moved in, we would move it out and have conviction again. Oh God, tonight, on this
hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.